Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And I think today's episode is a little different than what we've done in the past because I think it's something our patients will find interesting, but it's not necessarily directed at patients, but more so at providers, spa owners, clinicians that work in spas, or people that are even interested in.
Yeah, I wanted to, you've heard me talk about this. We have Skin and Tonic, and you know, most of you guys that listen know that I do a lot of traveling and education, and I have a coaching and consulting business. And I've told you and I've told Sierra that I want to do a webinar or a podcast or something and just have the title, Stop Buying Devices. Because every time I jump on these calls and hear about med spas that are struggling or failing, one of the common things is they have purchased or bought a device as a marketing plan, and they haven't really thoroughly researched the market, the need for that device, or have a way to get patients in. And I think when I say that, maybe some patients, if they hear me say it, or providers that look at our practice, think it's a bit hypocritical because we have so many devices.
And you speak for a lot of devices.
And I speak for device companies, so I love them, but I don't know. Tell them your thoughts when I come back from a conference or somewhere and have a new device I want.
Well, I think like you're low hanging fruit. You're the person everyone wants to see walk by their booth because you'll buy a product in a heartbeat. You'll buy a device in a heartbeat. And then they cringe when they see me walk up. How many times have they tried selling us on these syringes? Like Chris is ready to get on board with it and bring these expensive syringes in. And I'm like, nope, wait. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because you're thinking of more from the money standpoint. And I'm looking at it not because the business part is very important. And that's obviously what I consult on. And that's why I want providers to run the math. But I'm also constantly looking at new technology, new innovations. What is the latest technology that we have that can get amazing results for our patients? Because at the heart of this operation, not my business consulting brand, but at Skin and Tonic, what is kind of basically, that's our foundation. That's our core. That's what you and I founded, you know, many, many years ago. And we worked really hard to make this the premier med spa in the Northwest Florida region. And in order to do that, we've had to be careful with what we bring in. We have to make sure the devices we bring can get the results that we're talking to the patients about. So that really is at the heart of every decision we make about technology. I am low-hanging fruit because I'm constantly looking for that sort of device. What is the newest that we can research, that research has developed, that we can get safer or more effective results with less downtime? And so that's really what drives a lot of my decisions. But all the way down to these syringes that you're talking about, they're a special syringe. And the company really markets around not wasting product. And yeah, you pay more for the syringe, but you supposedly save some money in the long run on recovering wasted product. Why am I really interested in it?
Because it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. And it really is one of the most pain-free injections. And I say that not because I've had it, but from teaching at this point, more than 100 new injectors injecting with that syringe, I watch over and over and I see their models don't respond. So they're brand new injectors, never injected product, and the models will say, oh, it doesn't hurt. So then we have to look at the cost analysis part of it and say, yes, does that make sense to bring it in? And, you know, I mean, it's sometimes a significant cost and we always weigh out, is that worth bringing in? Is it going to really make a difference in the overall patient journey, the patient experience, or change the results? And from a result standpoint, with something like that, ultimately, we have to get the neurotoxin or the filler into the level that we want it. And that is going to be on based on our training and our expertise, not any fancy syringe they put in our hand. But the patient experience will be different. And that's the same thing with all of these devices, is there's a lot of different devices that do similar things. And even here, we have some that kind of overlap with each other. But the experience, maybe it's more comfortable, maybe it's less risk or lower downtime to get similar results. And that's why we continue to invest in new technology.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I think we kind of got off talking about the syringe, but it truly does relate back to all the devices. And I think hair removal is kind of a good example. Like we had a hair removal device that was doing its job, was doing a really good job, actually. It was extremely uncomfortable, though. And now we have a new device, and our hair removal sales have gone like tremendously. And so it does show that having the device that fits your population can improve like client flow. We And the same thing with like our Plex or several of our devices. No need to call them by name because we have too many for me to call by name. Thank you. But yeah, I think it's a really difficult position though, as someone that's new into the arena, mm-hmm. because it's so easy to, when you go to these conferences or you have reps come in, it's very easy to fall into that trap of how they're able to make you money. But if you don't have that patient flow, then there's no money there to be made.
Well, one of the things that I kind of always go back to, and this is literally before I ever started teaching a business class, and as we've been teaching the business classes, what I continue to say is, your patient results, patient safety, that has to be at the forefront of everything you do. There's no amount of business coaching or consulting that we can do that's going to overcome bad clinical outcomes. So you have to learn how to do things the proper way, be an outstanding clinician, and you have to have devices that are going to be safe and effective at what you're advertising. So when we look at some of these devices, and some, I don't think the consumers or the patients are aware, many of them are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so they're not cheap devices. And what we see is when clinics or med spas go out and buy these devices, but they don't have the patient volume or the patient population that fits that device, then they struggle. And it's reflected in everything else they do, because now they're having to sell more filler or more neurotoxin to try to just make the device payment. And that's why, as I go out and say, hey, just stop buying, I'm like, just pause for a minute. You can have a very healthy return. Devices can be a great addition to your practice. But when I say stop, I'm like, let's just take a pause. Let's evaluate what you have now, and then look for gaps in services with your patients, and then find devices that can fill those gaps, that meet the needs of the patients that you already have, and that at the same time, you're going to be remain profitable.
What do you think are some reasons people kind of fall into the device trap?
I think because people, they really look at devices as a marketing tool. They think because they have not enough patients in their practice, that if they buy a particular device, and they, again, we can go down and I can name any company, multiple brands, and what we'll find is, I think if I get device X and I put it here, it's either I'm the only one in the area, I'm the only one in the county, I'm the only one in the state. They don't realize there's multiple other ones that are maybe not the same name brand, but a similar device, and they're saying they're the same ones. And they think that alone will generate patients in their practice. But I often point out to them, if they haven't built a solid practice and a marketing plan and a pathway to get new patients and acquire them, that device is going to sit there and it's going to be an expensive payment. The device alone is not going to market itself. So there are companies out there that will help you with marketing strategies and marketing plans. But if you spend every bit of money that you have on just the device and you have nothing left over for marketing, then I think also that you're going to have a device sitting in a room in a corner collecting dust.
I think back to us and when we started, and we literally had a microdermabrasion. It wasn't even a needling when we initially started, and we did microdermabrasion, of course, the injectables. This is once we'd moved back here and I couldn't inject, but we had a microdermabrasion and VI pills, and we used those in a way to get results and therefore built a clientele that still see us today, a lot of them, and that's been 15 years ago. But then we went from that and we're doing really well, and that's when we bought our first big device, and it did exactly what you said.
Yeah, we bought the wrong device.
We bought the wrong device for the population of patients we had.
We didn't have a demand for it. We overpaid for it. We didn't know how to negotiate. The device really was not well designed for the setting that we had. So it was a very aggressive CO2 laser. It wasn't one that we could adjust down like we have now, where the technology's changed over the years. Our CO2 now is very different than that one that we originally had. And it was super painful. So it wasn't something that people were looking to come in for a lunchtime procedure. It was a very aggressive laser, so that was quite a bit of downtime. They had to go through weeks of healing and sun protection, and we're on the coast, and so we were in Mobile, Alabama at the time, but literally we're having to do these aggressive procedures and try to get patients through, and the few that would tolerate it then would have like all these burns on their face. You and I would lose sleep over it. We were stressed over it. Now we learn how to manage wounds. We learn how to get patients through some aggressive treatment. Now, afterwards, in all reality, their skin looked amazing. But that getting them from that early recovery phase through the, you know, probably sometimes took a good 2 to 3 months before they were starting to look good. They weren't wounded that long. I exaggerate, right. But it seemed forever to us because we were losing sleep over it every night. And then we'd see them 3-4 months later and they looked amazing, but they would also tell you, I look great. I love it, but I don't know if I would do that again. And so we did have trouble. I don't know that we ever actually did enough procedures to pay for that device, because back at that time, we didn't even know how to really keep track of our metrics and understand what we were doing. If there was money in the bank, we thought we were doing okay. You know, contrast that with the CO2 that we have now. It's amazing. We can do like intravaginal treatments, face treatments, body treatments. We can adjust it up or down. Do
almost even a no downtime treatment, yeah. Which we couldn't do it all with the other.
Yeah. And you did. And we still do some of those aggressive ones, but now we have a device that we can match the patient's needs. You did a very aggressive one that reminds me of our older days a few weeks ago, and the patient's loving the results, but you did a better job than we did back at that time of educating the patient on what that recovery process looked like. And you made sure that she was on board with it. She understood the process. She's been very compliant, and we can't wait to see her before and afters.
We get to see her this week.
Yeah, this week.
Excited. Yeah, that old device, the initial device, we probably should put Christmas lights and everything else on it because it still sits in a corner at our house.
Yeah, it's not even
as
here.
A reminder.
As a bad decision.
It's a bad decision. So
we need to get some pictures of it at least for one of the webinars, right?
We talk about it a lot.
All the time. So for providers out there that are thinking about buying a device, what do you think are some of the questions that you would tell them to ask? I know I have a system and I do it in my coaching, so I'm not going to read exactly what I put in my coaching program. I'm going to let you guess and see if we're on the same page.
So first of all, you have to have someone to use the device on. So you have to have a patient flow, and you have to have a device that's appropriate for the patient population. You certainly, if you're treating FITS 5 patients, mostly you don't need a high energy CO2. So you need something that fits your budget, something that's not going to fit you in the hole before you get started. You need something that has good support from the company. You need something that has good training available, good warranty. What do you say?
Yeah, pretty much that. So we look for a demand. Is there patients requesting it? And so I really prefer, there's some things that are really low hanging fruit that I think every medical aesthetic practice can incorporate. It treats all skin types and minimal downtime. So those types of devices that are in, you know, under 100,000, treats pretty much all skin types and can do a range of treatments. It doesn't stress me out as much as those that we start getting into the $150,000, $200,000, $300,000 range. That's where I see people really start to struggle. If it's going to be something in that high price range, in reality, much more than 50,000. I say, how many patients have requested this in the last 90 days? And so that means I want you to be in practice at least 90 days. So when providers have not even opened a clinic yet and they're looking, I'm like, make sure if you're going to buy a device right from the beginning, it's something that you can use a lot. Because if you're the only one doing these procedures, keep in mind all the hours that you're not available, that device is just sitting there unused. So I want you to typically be in practice 3 to 6 months for some of these more expensive ones. Make sure that you have a demand for it. So are they asking for hair removal a lot? Are you getting a lot of patients that, I don't know, want some other like skin texture problem? Do you have mostly darker skin patients or lighter skin? So those sorts of things, you get an idea of your practice. What is the expected lifespan of that device? Is it something that's you're gonna need to replace every couple of years? And if so, in that time, are you gonna treat enough patients? Do you have to get it recalibrated? What's the maintenance like on that device? So if it's a device that you have to ship back to the factory every year or two to get recalibrated, and it's $1,000 for shipping each way, maybe that's not the best decision early on. So those sorts of things we want you to kind of look at before you actually buy it. I think, like, first and foremost, really is what you said, what I said is, do you have a patient demand for it? And if not, are you in an area that you can create the demand? And so it's not that we cannot create a demand for something that's not there, but for instance, when we picked a CO2 living on the coast of Florida that required almost a general anesthesia to perform it, and we were in a strip mall, it didn't fit. It was a poor match all along. And so think about those sorts of things. So I think the other thing that we learned, and I've heard this before, I don't know who to give it credit to. This is not my plan or my idea, but basically, you know, there are the dreamers and there are the doers in any kind of relationship and any kind of business. And I definitely, in this instance, in Skin and Tonic, I'm more the dreamer. I'll go out there and it's like, I want every shiny new object and I want to buy it. And you're the one that has to like reel me back and say, no, how are we going to make this? And I think people, I believe their mind is the opposite, because I think they think I'm the business person and I can coach you all day long. But when it comes to me doing it here, I want every new thing.
Yeah. I think it's easy too, because we have like the, and a lot of our friends, the AR device salespeople, I mean, but their job is to put it in front of you and to make you, to paint a picture for you that this device is going to make you a lot of money. And I think they're really good at doing that. They'll put it on paper. They can show you, we just had a conversation before we started this. If you do one treatment a week, you know, and price it at this, then you'll be at $1 million for the year. And the thing is, you have to be sure you can get somebody to pay that. You've got to be sure that you've got people coming in that are even going to pay a lower price. And so keep in mind when you're in places that those people are put there to sell.
Mm-hmm. No, I think then for the next thing, my follow-up with that is, there are people like me and like you, and in the business world, I am more than the doer. I'm the analytic one. It's just more in this patient realm. At Skin and Tonic in particular, I've always been interested in new technology, but we've decided we put brakes on things, right? And so if I decide that, nothing is a decision that's made on the spot. We say we have to wait at least a couple of weeks and we need to digest it, think about it. If it's something we're still kind of thinking about and wanting at least 2 weeks later, then we go back and we have another discussion on it. But I have to slow down a little bit, and then you have to also adjust and warm up to the idea. And I think it's important for everybody to have that person, whether it's a spouse, a business partner, a business coach or advisor, but somebody that can be the counterbalance to them and say, let's pump the brakes for a minute. And so anybody that's thinking about it, I really would encourage you to stop and look at your last 3 months and see, do you know your break-even cost, what it's costing you every month to just cover your expenses? How much wiggle room do you have above that at your current volume? And then you're going to look at your laser, your energy-based device, and say, that alone, how many treatments? If you've been getting, on average, if you look at the past 3 to 6 months and you've only had 3 new patients in your practice, and you're expecting to get 3 new patients every single month to make your device payment, what's the reality that you're going to be able to go from the same volume into 6 months without any change in your marketing and now get that in 1 month? It's pretty unlikely. And so I want you to stop and think about that. And it's not always as easy as it seems to get those new patients in, but then mostly listen to your patients. I think that's where it comes most important. And what we have to do a lot, we listen to the patients, we hear what they're asking for. And then if we identify gaps or things that we're missing, we start evaluating technology. And sometimes it takes us 6 months to a year to even, one, see if the technology is out there, and two, decide if it's right for our practice and bring it in. There's some things that are amazing out there that I love, but it's better for me to go and pay and get the personal treatment than for us to bring it here, because we don't have enough patients asking for it at Skin and Tonic. What's the next device we're gonna buy? He says none.
I was going to say, I can't think of anything that I need right off the bat. Everybody's going to think like I'm the cock blocker of devices here. Like,
that's going to be the clip for this one.
maybe I should use another term. Any other advice? I think from all of this, what I got out of it is everyone should sign up for your program.
For my program?
Yeah.
Oh, I would love that. Right?
Including me.
Including Jerry. Jerry listens in on some of the coaching calls, guys. So those of you that are in my group, sometimes, you know, many times you don't. He's sitting over off camera listening. And then he's like, is this something that we do at Skin and Tonic, or should we do this? And me and Sierra are like, this is the first time you've heard this? Like, of course we're doing this. Or he'll say, I think we need to implement this week. Yeah, definitely for providers out there that are more interested in it, I'm happy to guide you along through that. But if you're not in that program, do find someone that's going to help you kind of steer through those questions and listen to your patients. I think first and foremost, if you're a patient out there, a client out there, talk to your provider about things that you read about. If you're one of our patients, let us know what things are you looking for, because oftentimes we have treatments available to meet a variety of conditions, and we realize that we haven't even discussed it with the patients. We have so many different devices here now to address a range of conditions, and it's interesting to me that our patients don't know all of those. We actually talked about a whole podcast episode being just on the treatments that we offer at Skin and Tonic, because we still have patients that have seen us. And as we add things, we find like, oh, we didn't do a great job of like making that really public that we can treat that now. So if you're a patient, talk to your provider about your concerns and find out what options they may have available, or it helps them make a decision when they decide to buy a device.
Maybe we'll do another. I think we've done something similar in the past, but maybe we'll do another on services that we offer here and how those services are provided.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode of Beauty in the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
See you soon.